You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
It's nice to have you back at 8:06 on this Friday morning, September 5th, from Lake Wissota, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. On this Friday morning, where Parker Olson is producing the show, and we got friends, meteorologist Brittany Merlot standing by, Dr. Kristen Lyerly as well. And then Mike Clemens will be joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about the season opener for the Green Bay Packers. And Dr. Lyerly already slurping out of her Green Bay Packer coffee mug. She's ready.
Always.
Yep. And she'll tell us what to expect on the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show coming up in just a bit. But first, Brittany, last week when we said, you know, for the start of the high school football season, oh, this is kind of, it's appropriate. This is high school football weather. Isn't that nice? It's not that nice the second week in a row here. But once again, this is temperatures this below average are not here to stay.
No, they're not. And, you know, I kind of like the pride thing. We are setting records with this cold right now. We're going.
Yes, it's good news.
Right. We're going down in history. I don't know. I always try to find the positive. We're Wisconsin strong. Yes. Yesterday we hit record cold high temperatures in Green Bay, Manitowoc, Marshfield, Merrill, Oshkosh, Rhinelander, Wausau. All of these places felt it. And today, state records for cold high temperatures are on the line again all across the state. Madison, Milwaukee, every little area is going to be dropping a little bit cooler today compared to yesterday, actual temperature-wise, but it's going to be even feeling worse because we've got to battle those breezy winds that are whipping out of the northwest. Now they're sustained at 15 to 25 miles per hour and gusting to about 35 miles per hour. So wind chills out there today. Layers are needed. It's feeling about 5 to 10 degrees cooler than the actual temperature outside. And highs today only reaching the low to mid 40s far north, where you're going to be stuck with more clouds today, overcast, drizzle, kind of damp and dreary. And then down south, more chances for spots of sunshine, highs reaching those upper 50s, maybe scraping 60. If you scrape 60, you're not going to get a record cold high temperature today. So might as well break records, right? Let's be proud of something. I don't know.
Right. You got to hang your hat on something here.
Right.
So can we look then at the Packer game Sunday afternoon, what folks will be facing?
Absolutely. So it actually looks to be much calmer, brighter. You know, clouds are still going to be out there. So I'm going to say mixed skies, partly sunny, and highs right there in those mid to low 60s. So mid 60s when the game starts, low 60s by the time it's over. Winds only 5 to 10 miles per hour. So comfortable compared to right now.
Which is breaking Kristen's heart over here, because I'm guessing, Kristen, this will not be one of those games you ride your bike 10 miles to get to Lambeau Field.
No, but I do have the grill in the back of the car already, and we're working on the menu. So let's go. Perfect tailgating weather.
It does sound like that very much. So Kristen is, for folks who might not have heard, had knee replacement surgery. And so we're going to talk a bit about that. But while the meteorologist is here, I just have to know at this point, do you feel like you're able to predict the weather better with either your bionic knee or your non-bionic knee at this point? Is there any weather tie-in?
No.
Really?
See, it's been a week. I don't know. Give me some time.
True.
All right. Thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, Brittany.
You too. Right.
Yep. Good to see you. Have a great weekend. So how are you doing, Dr. Lyerly, with your new set of wheels?
You know, it's cool that my leg is straight again. That was a long time coming. The whole recovery from surgery thing stinks. And yeah. I know that many of our listeners out there have recovered from something. It is just so hard to not be yourself and do the things that you do and to ask for help. It's, you know, even just to ask my kids to bring me an ice pack. Makes me like, I don't like doing that because I like doing things for myself, but it's very humbling. And it really makes you recognize what a lot of our friends and neighbors go through, people who are living with disabilities and who are, you know, challenged to go outside or even just go to Costco and get some groceries becomes a giant event. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a humbling experience to be sure.
Would you call yourself a compliant patient at this point?
No, I am awful, and I will admit it.
Well, they do say that about doctors sometimes, and I just didn't know if the stereotype were to fit. I know that you, for example, did make an appearance on behalf of the lieutenant governor who's running for governor here, and I'm sure that was very enjoyable.
How do you not show up for Sarah Rodriguez when she shows up in your hometown?
Right.
I had to. It was a compromise, though. I went to the event. I said hey to everybody. I introduced her, and then I walked off the stage and right to my car and went to bed.
I believe it. But again, it's the showing up that counts. Yeah. Alija puts on YouTube, I think the arthritis in my right foot does a good job with the weather predicting. So I guess it's all a matter of degree, you know. What particular ailment you have. I don't have anything like that, except that every so often you look at the sky. Yesterday, the sky looked like it wanted to snow. You know, it had that really dark look to the clouds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, don't you dare. You know, this has been brutal enough. So normally we ask what you're up to for the weekend here, and we know you're still recovering. So I hope that goes well.
We're going to tailgate because you know what I have?
What do you
have? Handicapped parking permit. Yes, I do.
Oh.
So I'm going to throw my reclined folding chair in the back of the car next to the grill, cooler full of stuff, and I'll see you at Lambeau.
Okay. So you got that going for you. So
that's
great. All right. And I would imagine there was still and still will be a Dr. Kristen Lyerly show this weekend.
It's going to be so good. I talk with the women from Northern Door Activism. So Emily, I always get her last name wrong. I'm just going to say Emily and Sarah. Okay. They are incredible advocates who, after the Dobbs decision, wanted to do something but didn't know what. And what they decided to do was community things like book clubs and marches and anything that their community felt like it was needing, they were going to step up and be that voice. And here we are 3 years later, and they are still going strong, actually stronger than ever. So Emily Kranick, Sarah White, Peach Barn Brewery up in Sister Bay. It's going to be a wonderful show. Please do tune in this weekend.
All right. And again, head to civicmedia.us to learn more if you're not in the immediate Green Bay or Oshkosh area. And we can subscribe as a podcast, I'm quite certain.
Everywhere you get your podcasts. The Dr. Yes. Kristen Lyerly Show. It's on Apple, Spotify, Substack, you name it. I'm there.
There. Boom. Exactly. Boom. All right. Well, let's ask the doctor about the non-doctor. We were talking in the last hour about the Robert Kennedy Jr. appearance on Capitol Hill yesterday. And
where do you even start?
I was just going to say, just Kristen, go. I don't even know how to feed something that much quackery. You know,
the tone, first of all, I have never seen a committee hearing that was so ugly and confrontational and just unnecessary. You know, it was so clear that RFK Jr. is not interested in science or helping. He just has an agenda that he wants to push. And watching him and Bernie Sanders go at it, holy cow. The thing that really hit me, though, was the rural health piece.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of the piece, they talked about how in the One Big Beautiful Bill, $50 billion was added to support rural hospitals. What they failed to leave out was that they defunded rural hospitals by $150 billion. So this is politics at its very worst. The way that they were shining this up and making it look like it was some sort of big gift, because it's not. It's really going to hurt our rural communities. It's really going to hurt our most vulnerable people, people who need this healthcare. And it's frankly shameful. Shameful to watch RFK do this.
And again, borrowing from, you know, the current right-wing playbook, which is just deny, deny, lie, lie, and never give an inch of ground. And that way, just enough people will believe you, even if you're still saying the same false thing over and over and over again, which is exactly what we were hearing. And like I said, while it might have made for confrontational TV, I think it also just underscored it's that much tougher for people to find credible health information. And you've mentioned about ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and other medical groups essentially going off on their own when it comes to providing health and vaccine guidelines. And we had the story yesterday about how several states are now forming coalitions to do this because you can no longer trust the Department of Health and Human Services or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
And it matters. I got a call yesterday from one of my neighbors who is a senior citizen. He went to the doctor, tried to get a COVID vaccine, and was denied. And he was denied because the FDA has not approved the COVID vaccines for people in his cohort, and his doctor wasn't comfortable offering it. So this has created, what RFK Jr. is doing has created a massive ball of confusion where states and colleges and other organizations are coming up with their own recommendations. People don't know which vaccines to get. Insurance companies don't cover vaccines that aren't FDA approved. They don't have to. So there are so many confusing policies out there for people who want to be vaccinated. It is a really challenging landscape right now.
Well, and if a doctor is saying, well, I can't give you this, or I don't feel comfortable doing it, if you can't work with your own doctor, it just, I don't even know where somebody starts at this point, except maybe your state health department, unless you're in Florida, or one of these other, you know, credible groups. If you're pregnant, for example, is to go to the ACOG website or something like that.
Yeah, that's what we have to do. I think that's what we as outspoken physicians have to do, is just get the word out there. If you are pregnant or planning to get pregnant or breastfeeding, these are going to be your recommendations. Or if you live in Wisconsin, these are going to be your recommendations. But, you know, when COVID happened, we did everything that we could to break down barriers and make it as easy as possible for people to get medication and vaccinations and information. And they're doing exactly the opposite, dismantling that. So the confusion is making it really hard for people. And that is going to cost lives.
Well, and that's one of the greatest contradictions is, here is a president who was trying to take credit for Operation Warp Speed to get the COVID vaccine out, but now bringing on, you know, a vaccine denialist and truly trying to have it both ways on this, along with many other issues. But, you know, saying we did the right thing then, but we need you to doubt it now for whatever reason. How can people not be confused?
Didn't I catch some testimony yesterday, back me up on this, where they were talking about, I think it was RFK who talked about nominating Trump for the Nobel Prize, Peace Prize, for Operation Warp Speed, but then also, which is the COVID vaccine, the development of the COVID vaccine, but then completely discrediting the COVID vaccine. It doesn't make any sense. And then when he was called on it, he just said, "What are you talking about? This is gibberish."
Yeah. What? Again, just deny it, accuse the other person of lying, even though the evidence is right there. It's right there of what they said. They can't escape their record, and yet they just say, "Oh, I don't know." Or what Trump said last weekend about some video. "Oh, it must be AI." Now they blame everything on AI, too.
Yeah.
But you can't hide what was really there if we've got, you know, folks like you and others willing to actually correct the record. We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lierley. On this Friday, we've got Mike Clemens coming up, who's going to have a preview of the Packers-Lions. We'll talk a bit about the Brewers as well. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Phillies, but still maintaining their lead in the National League Central Division. They now head out to Pittsburgh. They will play the Pirates. Here, coverage begins at 5:05 this evening on several Civic Media stations. And, of course, it's Free Ticket Friday. You can win tickets to see the Brewers-Cardinals game next Saturday, September 13th. You've got just over a half hour yet to text us the word BASE, B-A-S-E, for your chance to win those tickets. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
There are some lines that we use on this radio show that just ought to be on a loop someplace that gets said over and over again. Here comes one of them. I regret to inform you that Ron Johnson is doing Ron Johnson things once again, because the senior senator from Wisconsin was also part of the RFK Jr. hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday. I happened to miss that one. I did not even remember that Johnson was on that committee. I'd heard other parts of the testimony, and you reminded me that Ron Johnson was on the committee. And as I look here online, I see that not only was Robert Kennedy Jr. fact-checked by various sites, Ron Johnson had to be fact-checked, because he loves to take a particular database, and even though he's been corrected for over 5 years now, he has such a perverted sense of what this database actually does. So can you describe the VAERS system, what he says, and what the real deal is?
The VAERS system is a vaccine adverse events reporting system. So anytime you get a vaccine and you have some sort of a thing happen to you, whether it's a fever or a reaction at the site or a blood clot or you die, all of those things get reported into this database. And then people look at the database and they investigate these things. So it is really just raw data. But what he has done is attributed anything that happens, any possible correlation to the vaccines. And you can't do that. It's raw data. So he's using data inappropriately. He's cherry picking data. He's using it as marketing material for political purposes instead of scientific material to actually help people. And it's so wrong. It's so harmful. And I'm really glad that ABC fact checked him, because all he did yesterday with his 5 minutes was grandstand about how terrible vaccines are. And apparently we're going to hear more about it next week in his committee when he's having some sort of a other meeting. We'll see.
I just did exactly what Alicia put on YouTube. Ron Johnson is just sigh. because again, what you just explained, his misrepresentation of the data in the VAERS system, he's been doing 4 years. And as much as you know, I wish I had been elected to Congress, I wish you had been elected to Congress, one of the things that might have made us crazy is that yesterday, if I were to be sitting on that same committee, I would have simply talked over him. And the chair would have ruled me out of order and everything else. But I would have said, I'm sorry, Senator, I'm not going to allow you to say unfettered these things that you know are not true. And I know it's your 5 minutes of questioning, Senator, and this time is supposed to be your own, but you cannot spread falsehoods that have literally killed people as you have talked them out of taking the COVID vaccine. You cannot do this. And he'd continue to try to lie about it. And that would be a public service on my part, but that's more work than I want to do for Ron Johnson.
This has been his defining issue. This is the thing that people are going to remember him for, spreading this false information that literally killed people. And I guess if I hadn't been in a situation where I've known people who have taken care of people who have taken advice from Ron Johnson and discovered way too late that Ron Johnson was not a reliable source, and it cost them permanent damage, and it cost some of them their lives. For me, this feels like a justice issue. Like, he needs to stop this, because he is literally harming and killing people by spreading this misinformation. So yeah, I'm going to be doing something. Probably one of my podcasts in the future is going to be about this, because we really need to get more information out there so people can decipher this information for themselves.
It's a very good point, because you do have the podcast. I'm glad you're here on this show doing it. You're still making videos for TikTok and Instagram Reels and Facebook that, again, people should be sharing. And the reason I bring this up is when there's misinformation out there, there are certain folks that have no problem sharing that and spreading that bad information. And I think far too few people see the good information, the fact-based stuff that maybe you put out, and they go, thank you, Kristen. Thanks for doing that. They'll click on the little heart. Don't just click on the little heart. Click on the little arrow to share it.
Please.
Or repost it or something. And don't just keep it to yourself. We need people more than ever to be combating misinformation, not by getting into the comment section necessarily. If you don't want to mix it up with somebody, that's fine. Take what you know is credible information and share it. Get it out there.
Or do ask questions. I'm happy to answer questions. And, you know, to be very clear, nobody pays me for this. I get paid zero for my participation in your show or all the social media stuff that I do. Like, I truly do it because I am trying to get good information out there for people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's have these conversations so that we all have the information that we need so we can live our healthiest lives.
Yeah. Let me, while we're talking about podcasts, clarify one other thing. I mentioned it once in the show, and I'm just going to mention it one more time, that Kirk Bangstad, with whom we have done a podcast together in the past, prior to this radio show. It was called the Up North Podcast as part of my shameless attempt to, you know, do marketing for Up North News. But since that time, you know, Kirk is concentrated on Minocqua Brewing Company, but yesterday announced that he's going to go back and resume podcasting, and he's going to call it the Up North Podcast. And that's fine. You know, again, Kristen and I both were parts of it, you know, years back. But the Up North Podcast that he'll be doing through the Minocqua Brewing Company is not affiliated with Up North News or this program, Mornings with Pack Right Low, powered by Up North News. And that, you know, people will go off in their own directions and do other things. Kristen, you've got your own great little weekly radio show now. And so I'm not passing judgment on any of these things, just to say, be sure you know the difference between all these things, including the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show that you got to go find on the weekends.
That's right. Wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. So do that. I really hope the recovery gets easier and you get speedier and you're out there biking to Lambeau Field again before too much longer.
You just wait. I'll show up outside your house because you live so close to that bike trail. Oh, Pat, you're in trouble.
That's right. Uh-huh. I'll have a cold one ready for you. Thank you. All right. Talk to you later.
All right.
When we come back, Mike Clemens will be along and we will talk about the upcoming Packer season opener and how the Brewers are doing as well hitting the road this week for Pittsburgh. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Found it. You found the Weisenheimers.
I found it, yes. And the live stream, who probably still can't hear it, is going, what is he talking about, huh?
The Weisenheimers and the song Go You Packers Go. And yeah, for folks on YouTube, there are copyright issues when it comes to music and things like that. So sometimes you can't hear the music because otherwise YouTube will penalize you for it, even though we have a broadcast license for music. But social media sites are a little funny that way. For the rest of you, yes, you were hearing the Weisenheimers, Go You Packers Go, which I don't think we hear nearly enough.
We'll start hearing it more. How about that?
Okay. No, right. That totally works for me. So we've got the season opener for the Packers that's going to be coming up here, but it's part of a football season that is already underway. It got underway under unusual circumstances, to put it mildly. And so let's bring in Mike Clemens now to talk about the kickoff of the NFL season, and then we'll get into the Packers as well. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Wow, Pat, I didn't know that about the streaming and the licensing rights. You know, I know what you can and can't do, but that means we can't play the Dupers and the Bears still suck when they take on Chicago.
We'll play it for the radio audience. We just have to sometimes let our social media audience know.
We'll figure it out. I'm a little tired this morning. I stayed up to watch Thursday night football. The NFL season kicked off last night in Philadelphia, and the defending champions, the Eagles, take on their arch rival in the division, the Cowboys. And the Eagles ended up winning the game 24-20. Cowboys actually had a pretty good showing. Yeah. The run defense held up. Saquon Barkley held to 60 yards. Actually, the Eagles quarterback, Jalen Hurts, had a couple more yards and scored two touchdowns. He had 62 yards rushing. But just as the game is getting started, they have the opening kickoff, and a player gets injured. So during this injury timeout, Dak Prescott, the quarterback of the Cowboys, is standing there with his linemen. And then you see Jalen Carter, the huge 314-pound defensive lineman that, you know, was a first-round pick, controversial pick for the Eagles. But this guy just wrecks offenses. It's part of the reason they won the Super Bowl. He walks up to the Cowboys huddle, and something happens, and then you see the refs throw a flag and then turn on the microphone and say, you know, 98 is suspended from the game. He gets ejected. So they zoom in, and Mike Tirico's there with Chris Collingsworth, and they're looking at the tape, and you see Jalen Hurts spit on Dak Prescott, and it lands on his right on his chest.
We're watching that at one of our local watering holes, and we're like, did that just happen? And yes. So I guess I wonder, because we didn't know at the time, and of course we're just reading closed captioning, and so we never got an answer at the time. Do we know why Jalen Carter decided to do this?
Well, yeah, I mean, it just totally changes, you know, sort of the defensive scheme, you know, for the Eagles and for, I mean, just how dumb can you be? Right. So then there's a one-hour lightning delay. They had a thunderstorm roll through Philadelphia, so that both teams have to leave the field in the third quarter. They come back, and then late at night, Jason Garrett, the former Cowboy head coach, he now works for NBC, right? Mm-hmm. So he's down in the field, and hey, Dak, come over here. What was that all about? And then Dak told him, and then Jason went up to the booth, you know, radioed up to the booth like, hey, look for this tape again. And son of a gun, NBC had the tape. So before you saw Jalen Carter walk up to the Cowboys huddle and spit on Dak, before that, Dak had his, you know, semi-huddle waiting for the injury timeout. And so he decides to spit. So he spits over the shoulders of his offensive lineman. Well, it lands into that territory between the two huddles. But Jalen Carter takes offense to that. So he walks back. He walks over to Prescott. What? So he returns the spit. You know, only this one lands on Prescott. He does it in front of all these refs, and that's how he gets ejected from the game. And that's how we kick off the 25th season in the NFL.
That's even dumber than anything I would have imagined. That it's literally a spitting fight, a spitball fight. Yeah. That's crazy.
Thank goodness the NBC cameraman, they had that all on tape. They caught it. They had to look it up to say, oh, look at that. And then they zoomed in, right? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So it was magic loogies all night long in the game.
You know, and I get that it's a division rivalry. I get that. Even though the Cowboys, I mean, they've got the longest drought, right, without going to a conference championship game. But apparently it's still a heated enough rivalry that apparently means something. I was surprised to see the Cowboys looking, you know, like they did. They don't look all that bad. Even without Mike Parsons, now that he's a Packer, and Kenny Clark went over to the Cowboys. Is he playing with them already?
Yeah, oh, he got plenty of snaps last night. He's changed to a number 95 jersey, and he was lined up there off the left guard of the Eagles. So, yeah, the Cowboys, to go on the road and do that and not get blown out, I'm sure that Jerry's spinning that this morning on Dallas radio station saying, hey, you know, look, we've got a shot here.
Well, that's the other thing. We were thinking we were, you know, getting the best of Jerry Jones, and what a screw up, you know, to get rid of Micah Parsons, et cetera, et cetera. And now we see that he's got a potential back issue here. And what do we think? Is Micah going to be ready to play this Sunday against the Lions?
Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to talk to you last Friday, but so here's what happens. You know, there had been this drama all summer long between Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones and getting a new contract. And at the end of the day, the Parsons, apparently his agent even called the Cowboys 2 days out and said, okay, you know, can we renegotiate this? And the response from the Cowboys was no. We're just going to go to the fifth year. What he's already under contract for, and then we'll revisit it. So that's when they said, okay, then let's talk about a trade. The Packers slipped in. They gave up two first round picks and Kenny Clark, which was a gut punch to them, but they pulled off that trade. And every analyst, every former GM that does these networks now says, that's ridiculous. I mean, the Cowboys could have easily said, and while you're at it, throw in a third round pick too, you know, at least, because Micah Parsons disrupts these offenses with his pass rush, you know, better than anybody, a generational player, as they call him. So last Thursday, about 1 o'clock, I started telling some of our civic media producers, because I saw some network activity, and I'll just leave it at that. I said, hey, keep an eye on Adam Schefter, okay? Keep an eye on this. Now I'm in a press conference at 4 o'clock with Mark Murphy, the outgoing president. He retired back in July because he's about to be inducted into the Packer Hall of Fame. So it's 4 o'clock, and this thing gets started. And a little after 4 o'clock, one of the people standing behind a camera says, Mark, the ESPN's reporting that the Packers are traded for the Cowboys, Micah Parsons. And Mark giggled, like, oh, no, I believe that when I hear it. Has it been confirmed? No, you know, it's probably AI. So they take more questions about his career and his years, you know, in Green Bay. And then one of his trusted reporters that covers the team, Business Sports, Rich from the Press Gazette, says, Mark, the Press Gazette's now confirming that trade. And Mark's jaw drops, and he goes, what'd they get for him? So this means he's been out of the office a month. And he's in disbelief, like, what are these guys doing? I've been gone a month, and what did you trade away to get this Micah Parsons guy? And then over the weekend, this report comes out. You know, he claimed that he had a back injury, which is why he was not participating in camp. And so yesterday, they brought out Micah and, you know, a bunch of us. And I'm from Beloit, man. You know, Pat, if you walk in the studio with a cast on your arm, I'm going to say, well, how'd you do that, dummy? Right?
Yeah, right, so, right.
All these reporters around him, and after a couple of questions, I said, so how did this happen? And I sent you guys that tape. And he said, I thought about this. For two or three days, I thought about this, because they're putting out reports that, oh, it's the L4 and the L5 and a strain. He may have to have an epidural or painkiller injection before the game. And J.J. Watt says, hey, it's a back injury. We all have back injuries. And that's true. You know, there's a lot of guys that have to get a painkiller before the game. And when I see Jordan Love walk by every other day, he's got all those suction cup marks on his back from the training room. You know, the sore backs are a normal thing in football, especially in NFL. And Micah said, yeah, I was weightlifting during the Cowboys training camp. I overdid it. It was an accident. You know, I probably made a mistake there. Felt a little tweak in my back. And so we've been taking care of it. I've just finished up a steroid program, and I hope to be out there on Sunday afternoon.
Okay. So it wasn't some pre-existing thing that Jerry Jones is getting the last laugh in the sense that,
right.
You know, it was some kind of a weight room thing. But now, still, I mean.
You know, here's one other reminder, too, because I know that Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, you know, thinks about tradition and the lessons learned. Remember once upon a time that Ron Wolf was going to trade away a first-round pick for a third-string quarterback out of Atlanta, and before he signed the contract, he went through a physical, and the doctors went to Ron and said, this guy's got the same degenerative hip disease that ended Bo Jackson's career. You might get a year, 2 years out of this guy at most. He goes, I've seen now how the guy can throw, sign him. And that was Brett Favre.
Okay. Well, again, sometimes you got to go with your gut. But getting back to the back, and I'm not switching gears to the Brewers yet here, but when I hear back, and I right away think of Christian Yelich and how many games he missed last year, and now he's got a sore back this week. So when I hear this about Micah Parsons, I'm like, okay, so I'm, let's just say, cautiously optimistic. Pre-game coverage begins at 1 o'clock on several Civic Media stations. Let's jump over to the Badgers. They're going to be hosting Middle Tennessee. Again, coverage begins Saturday at 1 o'clock on several Civic Media stations with the starting quarterback, Billy Edwards Jr., went out with a knee last week. What's his status?
Yeah, for the third year in a row, Luke Fickell's lost his starting quarterback to some kind of an injury. This kid's got his knee sprain, so he's going to be week to week. So Danny O'Neill, who I thought did a pretty good job filling in the 17-0 win over Miami of Ohio, he's likely going to get the start tomorrow. He did a pretty good job of moving the ball for the team. And, you know, the Badgers did, I mean, they should have been a bigger blowout, but their defense did show up. I mean, they've got that Preston Zachman kid at safety who had two legit interceptions and was named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. So that's, you know, that's the kind of game we'll be looking for from Camp Randall tomorrow afternoon.
All right. And then finally, let's jump to the Brewers. They dropped 2 out of 3 to the Phillies. They got shut out yesterday, and they're on the road already to play Pittsburgh tonight to take on the Pirates. And the pregame there begins at, oh, what time did I say? 5:05. There it is, across stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. And how are we feeling now after, you know, dropping 2 to the Phillies?
Both those teams, the Phillies and the Brewers, the two best offensive teams in the majors right now. But the thing that's a little concerning is that Shelby Miller, you know, a veteran arm that they brought in the bullpen, he felt something go in his elbow. He's looking at perhaps his second Tommy John surgery. Doesn't know if he's going to do it at 35 years old. You know, he'd be 36 if he came back from that. So, you know, Pat Murphy loses that. And then there's another pitcher to be named that is waiting on an MRI this morning that might be placed on IL as well. So, But, you know, the good news is this is what Murphy's been dealing with all year. They've got, you know, a large group of guys between guys down in Nashville and the ones that they already have up. And, you know, at least they, the Pirates aren't a very good team. They should be able to pick up some wins this weekend until they figure out what's next and how soon they get back Trevor McGill, their closer, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, next man up has always been kind of their mantra, you know, who's next. And they've had a good nose for talent, despite all the injuries to the pitching staff this year. It has worked out so far. We just got to make the magic last for about another month or so, 6 weeks here. Mike Clemens, thank you so much for, as always, our Friday morning sports update. Have a great weekend. Get some rest.
You too. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Appreciate you very much. Again, the Civic Media Radio Network has got all kinds of sports. I haven't even gotten into the high school sports. Your local station may have some games to play as well. Check on the website, civicmedia.us. Head to your local station's homepage and get a fix not only on high school sports, but your local news there as well, civicmedia.us. Some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
Packers, go. I think it's time, Terry, that the Lombardi Trophy goes home to Lambeau Field, where it belongs.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
One more time for Free Ticket Friday. You've got just over 6 minutes to text the word BASE, B-A-S-E, for your first entry of the day into Free Ticket Friday. You can enter multiple times today. There will be keywords throughout the day. Listen for them. Use the Civic Media app to text in those keywords. And then of all the day's entries, one will be chosen to win 4 tickets to the Brewers taking on the St. Louis Cardinals at American Family Field next week, Saturday, the 13th, 7:15 p.m. is first pitch. And you have to be able to get and use tickets on your phone. These are great club-level seats, so worth your while if you have a chance of going to the game to text the word BASE before 9 o'clock this morning. You can sign up for our newsletters over at UpNorthNewsWI.com, including the Sunday morning newsletter I put together, which is kind of a roundup of political news from the week. And then there's a question of the week as well. And I wanted to share the results here of this past Sunday's question because it was so noteworthy. And I was not necessarily looking for it to be one-sided. I definitely wanted to see what's the range of opinions out there. And it's about Dreamers, the nickname given to children who were brought to this country by their parents who came here as undocumented immigrants to work hard, give their family a better life, to be safe, and so forth. This is the only country they've ever known. They've gone to school here. They've become part of the workforce here. But they are not citizens. Their parents are not citizens. And they, by and large, don't even have a path to citizenship because of, you know, coming here as young kids with their parents who are undocumented. So the question was, should Dreamers have a path to citizenship or should they be deported from the only country that they've ever known? Now, our newsletter goes out at 6 a.m. on Sundays. And one of the very first responses, and I want to check the timestamp on this, 6:28 in the morning, so it was among the first wave of them, was from somebody named Kurt. And the answer was, round them up and send them back. If you're not born in the U.S., you're here illegally, period. And, well, first off, again, people want to make this to sound like you've committed some kind of a heinous felony coming here. It's not. It's a civil forfeiture and hardly worth drawing guns on somebody who simply came across the border. But we have a faction in this country for either xenophobic or blatantly racist reasons has that kind of a mentality. So that was one of the first answers that came in. Here are the results, though. That's the one person who chose option B, send them back. We had 187 responses that were sent back. Out of the 187 responses, 185 of them said, A, Dreamers deserve a path to citizenship. So the final tally was 185-2. There was Kurt, and there was one other email here that simply said B. And that was it. And the writings that come along with these. Sure, a lot of them just say A or whatever the case may be, but so many people decide to add a little bit more to it. And I really wanted to share some of that with you. There's a John here who said, dreamers had no choice in entering the U.S. By every other standard, they are productive members of our society. The U.S. is their home. They should have a clear and expedited path to citizenship. Let's see. There's Nancy who said they've become valuable members of our society and should be able to become citizens. Any criminals should be prosecuted, which, again, I made clear in the question of the week. If they've been law abiding, then, you know, why would you be using our resources to round up people and deport them when they've simply been here existing and working and actually wanting to be contributing members to American society? Let's see, from Catherine, whatever happened to the words on the Statue of Liberty? Trump's anchor babies should be deported. If he, Trump, uses crime as a stipulation, then we could deport our own homegrown criminals. I am so tired of what Trump and his cult are doing to America. The money they are wasting on confinement centers could be put to better use. Most of these people are just hardworking people trying to have a better life. So sad. From Anna, let them stay here, and for goodness sake, help them understand the path to citizenship. We need to remember that we were once seen as the best place to come for a better life. We should not be deporting children of undocumented immigrants. We should be helping them all toward naturalization and citizenship. And again, it gets back to this very core notion of reforming immigration. And what so many people seem to be afraid to say, I'm not afraid to say it. There has never been a more critical time in our lifetimes for reforming and encouraging immigration than right now, as the baby boomers, you know, are exiting the scene. As my generation, early Gen X, is starting to think about retirement, and we don't have nearly the numbers here to maintain the labor force that we have, the services, the economy. We are absolutely dependent upon reforming immigration, providing a path to citizenship for the people who are here and all the people who want to come here, instead of demonizing them for, like I said, all kinds of reasons, some of them based in politics or the economy, others just terribly based in personal qualities that I don't really even want to get into. But this is what we need right now, and we almost had it. We almost had a bipartisan package that would have reformed immigration, would have strengthened border security. And Donald Trump not only blew it up during the campaign, thanks to the obsequiousness of all kinds of toadies in Congress that would just go along, but has now unleashed troops and unleashed federal law enforcement to round up all sorts of folks whose only crime is being here and working hard and trying to make a better life for their family. That's what we're using our resources on right now, when we're not cutting healthcare to everybody else to pay for tax cuts for the rich. And it's a shame. But I really appreciate all the answers that came in. We'll have a new question of the week coming up this Sunday. Head to upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our newsletters there. Thanks so much for being part of our week here, our short work week. Hope you've had a good recovery from the Labor Day weekend. Have another good weekend just ahead. We'll see you back here bright and early Monday morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.